Everybody out tonight, this midweek service will be in Psalms chapter 3. This is just one of those chapters I've enjoyed my time in. Psalm chapter 3, it has been a blessing to me, an encouragement to me in studying this. Psalms chapter 3, and I begin reading in verse 1, and tonight our emphasis will be on verses 7 and 8, but we're going to kind of do a recap slightly throughout as we close out our time in Psalm chapter 3. Tonight I begin reading in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people and that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, I want to thank you for your people that have gathered here tonight. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words tonight that you would have me to say. This chapter has been a great encouragement to me as you dive through the depths of turmoil that David was in. The beginning of this passage, and then how he turned to you, and then your treatment of his enemies and your enemies at the end of the verse and end of the chapter. And we just thank you, Lord, and praise you for your faithfulness, and ask you, Lord, once again to move amongst us this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we're picking back up here in the third chapter of Psalms, and by a brief recap of the first six verses, David is in turmoil in this chapter. He's in turmoil because his son Absalom has turned on him. His son is out to kill him. His son is out to take the throne from him. I remind you of what Spurgeon said. He referenced David as the fugitive father. David was a fugitive from his own son who sought to have him killed. David's men, those who were in his cabinet, the mighty men that surrounded him, those who were in his army, they left him. David was scared. He was alone. He was on the run for his very life. Then on top of that, as we referenced, because of his adultery with Bathsheba, David was also attacked in his spirit by the enemies of God and his own enemies. He gave them ammunition, we looked at, to use against him in this fight. And we looked at in verse 2, the most severe attacks, as we noticed, was many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Many, it says, told David, there's no help for you in God. We looked at when we were looking at chapter 2, just with everything and the unrest that we have in our country today, when people talk about everything that's going on and how bad it is, and you say, pray about it, they give you sometimes a little bit of a smirk. Because they don't buy it. They think there's no help for you in God either. When you say you're going to the church house when the White House is messed up, it don't make any sense to them because they don't believe there's no help for you in God. And it's no different. It's no different today. But many, it says, told David, there's no help for you in God. They essentially said God has forsaken you. God is not there for you because of what you've done. And all of this took an agonizing toll on David. It was devastating for him. On top of all this, when your life is in jeopardy, that toll that it takes on somebody can be agonizing. But David, in fear of losing his life, if you look down, if you remember from verse 3 and 4, he sets it right in verse 3 when the world told him and his enemies told him there's no help for you in God. He sets it straight in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, or to shield for me my glory and the lifter up of mine head. And it says in verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. He starts out in verse 3 saying, but thou, O Lord. And again, we reference verse 2. People said, many there was, that said there's no help for you in God. But David knew, and he was able to keep the right perspective as it would pertain to God. David's the only man in the Bible to ever be referenced as a man after God's own heart. David knew that God was not only his hope, but his only hope. When all else seems wrong, God is always right. David knew that. When all else seems bad, God is always good. When everyone else seems to have forsaken you, God is still with you. We looked at Deuteronomy 31:6. David knew this. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. David knew that if all he had in the world that was good was God, that's enough. David knew if all that he had that was going right for him was God, then that's enough. David knew that if the only person he had by his side was God, then that was enough. When David was attacked by his enemies in verse 2, sure it shook him up. It got him. Sure he may have doubted what he knew in the face of what many were telling him. But his faith in God came through. His faith overshadowed his fear. His faith overshadowed his doubts. His faith overshadowed what many in that day and time was telling him. And he comes out in verse 3 and he says, "But thou, O Lord." That's an encouragement to me after all that has gone on in David's life. After all that had happened, what could happen, was going on at that time. And after all that, David placed it all right at the feet of Jesus. In verse 4, he cried unto God and God heard him. We were reminded in verse 4 that God hears his own. In verse 5, he was able to get the rest that he needed. And the Lord sustained him. Verse 6, we looked at all, that was last week, we looked at all that David went through in his life. We looked at the triumphs, we looked at the tragedies in his life. He had a lot of tragedy. He had a lot of triumph, but he had a lot of tragedy. And I'm sure as we get towards the ends of our life where we have less time ahead of us than what we have behind us, we'll probably all be able to pretty much say we've had a lot of triumphs in our life, but we've also had a lot of tragedies. We've had a lot of mountains, had a lot of valleys. And David is at this place. We referenced last week his victories. We referenced his defeats. Yet he was not afraid because he had been through the fire before. Verse 7 and verse 8 is where we'll be tonight. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. We'll point out several things in verse 7. First off, arise, O Lord. This is a common scriptural mode of calling upon God, asking him to make his presence known in your situation. Either in wrath or favor, we want to experience God's favor. We want to experience his blessing. Perhaps we're in a trial and we feel like we're all alone and we want the Lord to arise. We want the Lord to show up in our situation. And if it were an adversary that was attacking us, and at times, I mean, if you're out witnessing, it's easy to get attacked for the cross of Christ. It's easy for that to happen. It could even be adversaries in some way or another. You would ask the Lord to arise up to defend you, to be your defense. You're asking God to arise and to come to your situation to make himself known. We've often done this. We've often prayed this. We've often said, Lord, make yourself known in my situation. It's not when we get in a situation and we get into a trial, it's easy for us to put the emphasis on the trial, to put the emphasis on what is going on. And when we do that, we lose sight of what the Lord's doing, even in the trial. And if it's been a while since we've seen the Lord's hand move because we're so focused on the trial, we're so focused on the circumstance, then at times we go to God and we say, Lord, I just need to see your hand. I just need to see that you're still working in this situation. We all get there. We all do. We especially require this if it's been a little bit since we've seen the hand of God in our situation. We ask for the Lord to make himself known once again and to remind us that he's working. Now, what's been a blessing to me at different times in the life where the trial has been great, and you ask the Lord to show up and to remind you that he's still in control, that he's still working in your situation, he shows up. It might be a couple days after you pray it. It might be a few days after you pray it. It might be a week. But the Lord will remind you that he's been working. And it's easy for us to get our sights off of God, and while he's working in our trial, it's easy to do that. Notice also in verse 7, it says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone." It says, upon the cheekbone. It seems to be taken from a comparison of David's enemies to a wild beast. The cheekbone would be the bone in which the teeth are placed. And to break that is to disarm the power that the mouth would have. When the jawbone is broken, you disable the power that the jaws and the teeth once had. It would be likened to a gun without bullets. You take the bullets out of the gun, then things are different now. Or a gun without a firing pin. How many times has the wicked set themselves against us and God removed their bite from them? I'm thankful for that. I praise God for that. God broke their jaw. God broke their teeth. If a bear were to attempt to bite you, it would be better if it had a broken jawbone. It would be better if the bear had no teeth. It takes the power that it had from them. And I'm thankful that when our enemies come at us to attack us, there will be times that God, in his power, will limit their attack on us. Now, by the way, we don't always recognize that when it happens, because God spares us from a lot of attacks. And the devil has a whole lot of people that he could use to attack us. Now, I believe some attacks that we face could be a lot worse than what they're actually facing. I do believe, even though churches are under attack right now, I still believe it could be a whole lot worse. What our churches are facing right now still could be a whole lot worse. Maybe God's broken the jawbone of those that are trying to completely unleash havoc on every church in this world. Perhaps he's broken their jawbone for now. Perhaps he's damaged their teeth for now. He's taken the teeth out of that attack. He will impose something upon them to limit the amount of damage on us by striking a blow to their ability to attack us. I cannot remember the verse, but it just came to my mind. But it was about how the wicked set a trap for the righteous and they end up falling in it themselves. Got to remember who we serve. We got to remember who's looking out for us. We got to remember who's protecting us. Verse 7, it says, "When God takes vengeance upon the ungodly, he'll smite in such a manner as to make them feel his almightiness in every stroke." Notice all four things here that verse 7 points out. Thou hast. We'll look at that. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. This describes the Lord's past dealings with his enemies. If you think about David's life, we spent much of last Wednesday night looking over how God helped David overcome his enemies in the past and how God took care of them. I believe David was skilled with that sling, more skilled than he was with a sword or anything else, but I still believe that God guided the selection of the stones. God guided the flight pattern and the amount of speed that rock had to have and where it hit on Goliath. The man was wearing armor. There's only so many places that you could hit him. But God guided that stone, that smooth stone, right to where it needed to be, right to where it needed to go to drop that behemoth of a man, Goliath. To defeat not only David's enemies, but the enemies of the living God. Notice also, O Lord, O my God, we notice that shows that the Lord should be our constant resort. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter who is up against you, God should be our constant resort. David's prayer, David's cry was to God. It don't matter what it is, we need to always cry out to God. I said before, God is not only our hope, but our only hope. Notice also the word arise, the fact that the Lord is to be stirred up. You know, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And I get reminded of this sometimes. Because sometimes you get in the middle of something, something's going wrong, and you just put your head down, start kind of plowing through. And then sometimes God can be our last resort. But we can't be that way. God has to be our first resort. As soon as something comes up, as soon as we see a need, as soon as we see a trial, we need to go straight to God with it. Don't try and fix it first and then go to God. Unfortunately, that's what we do sometimes. We try and fix it first and then we go to God. Once we're like, well, I tried to fix it, but I can't. Now I got to go to God. We all have. Yeah. A lot of times we've made it worse. And if anything, we've just robbed ourselves from peace for the day or two or 3 days that we were carrying it, trying to figure it out, rather than just giving it to God to begin with. And then we have peace throughout that time. Then we have joy. Then we have contentment. Contentment's hard in a trial. It's hard to be content in a trial. Just to sit back and say, I'm in the middle of the mud. I'm sitting in the mud. It's up to here, but I'm content with it. I don't know how to explain it. Just give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to Him. Lastly, encourage believers to use the Lord's past victories as an argument with which to prevail with Him. We must always be reminded of past victories. David was, and he was encouraged in them. You know, when we lose sight of past victories, it's not long before we start feeling like our list of victories are short. We got to be reminded of past victories. We got to be reminded of the mountains that we came up to, the things that were in our life, the trials and the challenges and the struggles and the health difficulties and car breakdowns and things breaking around the house and our own shortcomings. Those things weigh heavy on us at times too. Family situations. I mean, we could go on and on and on. But be reminded of the victories that God has done in all of those areas. David, I believe, had the faith that he did because he was aware and reminded of past victories. When I was in the Marines and was deploying to Iraq, I didn't even think about this. Sarah reminded me of it a couple of nights ago. The anniversary of that deployment, about 2 weeks from now, August 5th, back in 2008. But which was a Tuesday night, so I was thinking also, 12 years ago on your midweek service, little did you know that your pastor was arriving in Iraq. Your future pastor was arriving in Iraq in about August 6th or whatever. But many things went through my mind. You know, you're getting ready to leave. There's all kinds of uncertainty. I remember it very clear. Hardly slept the night before. I wanted to spend as much time with my wife before I left as possible. So all we did is we practically talked just about the whole night. We talked about the whole night. I wanted to see her. She wanted to see me as much as we could before I deployed to Iraq. Because we didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know what was going to happen. You want to soak up every minute that you can because you don't know what's going to happen. And I remember getting up the next morning. It was It was dark still outside, and boarded that white government Bluebird. It was a Bluebird bus, white government Bluebird, and got on that thing and went to Hickam Air Force Base, flew out military aircraft from there, and then went commercial at some point on later from Alaska, then on in. But in not knowing what was going to happen on this deployment, one of the things that encouraged me was the U.S.'s track record in war. America just don't lose. We don't lose in war. And one of the things that encouraged me in battle is the U.S.'s track record. One of the things that helped me, encouraged me, was the track record that Marines have in war. When 12 Marines killed 250 or more insurgents in an intense firefight that lasts more than 6 hours, you can rely on past victories. You rely on your training. You have confidence in those Marines with you and those who trained with you, because those 12 Marines that killed over 250 insurgents were trained the same way as you. We need to daily remind ourselves of all that God has done for us, all the victories that He's fought with us and for us, the battles that He's fought for us before we even realized there was a battle. There's been a lot of times where we never even had to go to battle, didn't even know that there was one coming, because God went ahead of us. And you know what? There are going to be some things that God lets us go through. He called the disciples into a ship, into a storm. I mean, He's going to do that to us. But there's also going to be a lot of times where there's going to be something that God does not allow to get through. God goes before us, which means if you end up in battle, He's already been there. He's been fighting long before you had to. The Lord's perhaps weakened our opponent so much before we even get there, so that we can be able to handle it. We need to be reminded of these things and draw much encouragement from it. When I struggle at times, if I'm thinking about finances or something like that, I think about all the times that God showed up in that way. And it's an encouragement during those times. When I think about health, when I think about different things that's going on in my health, I think about all the times, all the sicknesses, all the different things that we've been through that God showed up in. I think about the times where things could have went wrong, even if we were just a minute or two behind or ahead of schedule. There's been several accidents that we could have been in. There's been several things that could have happened. But as I said, God goes before us. So there's a lot of things that will never happen to us because God went before us and took care of it before we ever got to it. And I believe in heaven. I tell you what, that's partly what I think we're going to be praising God for all of eternity. Is not only that we're in heaven because He sent His one and only Son down on the cross for us, but also all the things that He spared us from. All the things that He saved us from. The things that we didn't have to experience, that we didn't have to go through. I know I've thought that the Lord showed me this one time. You know, I used to get all down in a funk because I'd only had my dad for 14 years. And the Lord reminded me of people that never met theirs. Never met their dad. And the Lord has reminded me of Marines that never had the opportunity to get married, never had the opportunity to have kids. I was bummed when Evan was born without vision in his left eye. The Lord reminded me that these men that you know, that they're not married. They'll never get married. They're in Arlington. They'll never have kids. I'm thankful for mine, however which way they come. Thankful for having them. They're a blessing. And we got to be reminded of the victories in our life. And it's going to give us encouragement. It's going to give us strength to go through the valleys, to go through the dark times. We live on these past victories to have strength for future battles and temptations. And lastly, in verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Spurgeon says, search Scripture through, and you must. If you read it with a candid mind, be persuaded that the doctrine of salvation by grace alone is the great doctrine of the Word of God. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. This means, folks, it is His, then only He can give it. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. This is a point concerning which we are daily fighting. Salvation from first to last and every iota of it belongs to the Most High God. He calls them by grace, quickens them by His Spirit, and keeps them by His power. It is not of man, neither by man. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. May we all learn this truth experimentally. For our proud flesh and blood will never permit us to learn it any other way. In this last sentence, the peculiarity and speciality of salvation are plainly stated. Selah, lift up your hearts and pause and meditate upon this doctrine. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thankful for that. Not only our salvation for our souls, but everything else that He saves us from, that He spares us from. And as you know, God spared David, and David makes it out of Psalms chapter 3. And that's a blessing. It is. He come out of it. And there's a lot of things in our life that we are going to come out of. And if you're in a trial, you're in a storm, you're going to come out of it. Either come out of it on this earth, or you're going to come out of it in glory. If the Lord chooses to take you home. Either way, you're coming out of it. And either way, it's going to be good. Either way, it's going to be good. So I encourage y'all tonight. This has been a huge encouragement to me. And trust it has been to you. Hate to move on, but you got to. And we'll move on to chapter 4 next time. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, as we come before you once again tonight, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word encourages us. Also, thank you, Lord, that it challenges us and that it convicts us and it shows us when we're right and it shows us when we're wrong. And just thank you, Lord, for your word and the power in it. I trust, Lord, your people have been encouraged and strengthened through this time. And we ask you, Lord, to bless our time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.